You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
In the communications sector, there is a revolution taking place.
Look how far we've come. A third of the music released last year in this country was not even released on
a
CD.
Do you use a credit card online?
No, I live in Russia.
I'm concerned about the way the company's being run and the fiber to the node network.
Unless we can have clarity that we will not be subjected to further separation, we are not in a position to lodge an RFP bid.
You can't make it a technical game because the very people who are trying to protect are smarter than you.
We want to really change the world by making things so special you've got to have it.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everybody and welcome to the first edition of Tech Talk Radio for 2009. I'm your host, Andrew McComb. Well, if you're listening to us for the first time, Tech Talk Radio is a show which discusses current topical tech issues, from the state of the nation's broadband dilemmas to gadgets that may make our lives a little easier. Heard on radio stations around the country and abroad, not to mention stream live every Monday night, Tech Talk Radio consists of a panel of passionate individuals, including IT journalists and professionals. We encourage participation from listeners via our chat forum at chat.techtalkradio.com.au while we're live on air. There's no need to register, just log in and join in. For our first show back for 2009, we'll be taking a look at the news and events that have caught our attention since Christmas. The global financial crisis is playing havoc with the world's suppliers of technology, both goods and services. No one seems to have escaped the downturn. With companies like Sony, Microsoft and eBay all reeling in the downturn, what's going to happen next? How will a global financial crisis affect us here at home? And what's going to happen to our jobs? In other news, the federal government is scheduled to announce who gets to build Australia's controversial national broadband network. The on-again, off-again internet filtering tests are back on, maybe? We've now only got one Amigo to go, as we saw the departure of Greg Wynne from Telstra earlier this year. Which means there's only one Amigo to go, and rumours have it that 2009 will be his last. So, as we embrace the new year, stick with us for what will be an entertaining and informative take on technology that will no doubt affect us all.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Sony hits rock bottom. We've found an ISP who disconnects users suspected of breaching copyright. Adam sheds some light on Freeview, and Blu-ray prices fall as the medium gains momentum. So to kick off 2009, here's the latest happenings in the world of technology for this week.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, Google flags the entire internet as malware. Labor red-faced over delay of net filter trials. Search giant Yahoo posts a $303 million US dollar loss. Free set-top boxes are to be distributed to pensioners. And there's still a few days left to download Windows 7 Beta. Welcome to Tech Talk News. In a major embarrassment for search giant Google, the entire internet was flagged as malware over the weekend after a mistake was made in a data file. For about 1 hour on Saturday, the Google search engine returned the message, "This site may harm your computer," after every search result. The error was detected and corrected quickly, but rolling changes to Google data files meant that users experienced the overzealous malware warnings for up to 1 hour. Google's Vice President, Search Products and User Experience, Marissa Mayer, said on the official Google blog that the error was caused by a non-profit business partner. StopBadware.org manually analyzes websites and makes recommendations to Google if it believes a site contains malware, meaning the site may try to install harmful applications on users' computers. According to Mayer, the URL of /... was mistakenly checked in as a value to the malware data file, causing the erroneous results. Google apologised and thanked users for their understanding. The federal government has failed to respond to an Australian ISP, which volunteered to trial a controversial net filter late last year. iiNet signed up to participate in Labor's ambitious internet censorship trials, but has said its application has been met with deafening silence from the government. The government's timetable has now been pushed back, and the Minister for Broadband, Communications and the Digital Economy, Senator Stephen Conroy, has still not released details of which ISPs will be involved in the trial or even when it will begin. The Chief Operating Officer of iiNet, Mr. Mark White, told the Sydney Morning Herald last week that the ISP's submission was lodged on the 6th of December, but that it was still waiting for a response from the government. The NetFilter proposal has caused considerable angst in the internet community owing to its proposed mandatory implementation for all Australian ISPs and the expected flow-on effect of slower internet speeds that this will have. Some scenarios predict an 87% reduction in internet access speed. The Green Senator, Mr. Scott Ludlam, is an outspoken critic of the proposed net filter.
People have raised significant concerns about what it will do to the performance and the speeds of the internet. My real concern, though, is more to do with the civil liberties and the fact that there's no real demand for censorship of the internet in Australia. There's no other country in the Western world, at least, that's trying anything like this on this scale.
The government, undeterred, said that child safety online was an important election promise, and last week said it had received 16 applications from ISPs looking to take part in the trials, and that more details would be available within days. The Wall Street Journal reports that internet search giant Yahoo swung to a fourth quarter net loss as the company recorded over $600 million in unusual charges, and the total revenue took a hit from falling international sales. The internet company reported a net loss of $303 million, or 22 cents a share, compared with a net profit of $205 million, or 15 cents a share, a year earlier. The reported net loss included the charge of $7 million to pay advisors related to strategic proposals with Microsoft and Google. Yahoo's chief executive, Ms. Carol Bartz, said the company made important investments while managing costs, putting the company in a better position to weather the global economic downturn. Yahoo has struggled against Google due to its exposure to the slumping display advertising market. It's also cut its workforce by at least 10% and instituted a wage freeze in an effort to contain costs. The Rudd government last week added more controversy to Australia's distant analogue TV switch-off date in 2013. Communications Minister Stephen Conroy said that the government will commit to a $13.6 million switchover assistance package, effectively giving away set-top boxes to ensure pensioners in Mildura can still get TV signals. Mildura in northwestern Victoria will be one of the first towns to have analogue television switched off in the first half of 2010. But the minister also announced the government's intention to launch a satellite TV service to cover terrestrial black spots, prompting concerns from the industry group Regional Broadcasters Australia with respect to eroding local content. Australian IT News reported that the government expects the package will be used by about 3,000 Mildura households, which are unable to afford new digital TV sets or set-top boxes. And the long-awaited replacement to Microsoft's Vista operating system, Windows 7, will be available for download at least until February the 10th. The cut-off date has been extended from January and has caused some concern, with pundits suggesting Microsoft's target of 2.5 million downloads may not have yet been reached. The Windows 7 beta operating system can be downloaded from the Microsoft website. I'm Dr. Rob, and that's your first Tech Talk News for 2009.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Well, gents, we've made it. Finally got here to the very last show before Christmas for 2008.
The government's in control of this country, not Telstra.
Rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
I want an Apple TV for Christmas.
Why? It doesn't do anything.
Well, do a post-paid, because then there's no surprises, is there?
Do you notice the difference just on DVDs?
A billion Chinese dissidents can't be wrong.
How can any ISP stay in business if they can be held liable for what their end users do on their network?
Yeah, well, it's going to be an expensive exercise, as it was an expensive exercise in stupidity from the outset.
Don't click on things in spam.
I can't believe how much content's on Hulu.
I know.
What's Hulu? Sorry.
You should know, Andrew. I send you the link.
Oh, don't start.
You've already got one.
If it's the same people talking about internet filtering, we have a huge problem on our hands, ladies and gentlemen.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio for the first show for 2009. And let me tell you the stories we've had so far getting the show to you this evening. Just due to the massive power failures that we've had throughout the eastern seaboard of Australia, with our lovely 43-odd degrees and all those sort of things down here, tonight's been no exception. We've had amazing issues with power and stuff. But we'll talk about that. Obviously, later on. Might be a shorter show than normal, but you never know. You're lucky in a big city. Come and have a chat to us, chat.techtalkradio.com.au, if you're near a computer. Now, we have almost a full contingency of panellists here. Lyd has obviously fallen off the wayside due to the lack of power that we've had over here. She's gone to bed to California. Anyway, introducing you to the panel again, just in case you've forgotten who they are, from right to left. Graham Callaghan. Good evening, Dr. Graham.
Good evening, Andrew.
Lovely to have you back.
Good to be back on air, finally.
It is good to be back on air. It's been a while between drinks.
It has.
And you've been playing with some good toys. Dr. Ron?
Oh, I'm excited. We're back on air. Isn't this great?
In more ways than one, thanks to the electricity people that are providing enough 240 joules per coulomb to get us on the radio this evening.
We did have a lot of setup time, though, tonight.
We did, unusually. Who are you? JD's here, too. Justin Dunlop, everybody.
Hey, everyone.
How's life?
Life is good. I'm on holidays.
Oh, you're always between you and Dr. Ron. You know, someone's got a holiday somewhere. I found a good travelogue site too today, which I must show you. Dr. Ron, did you get my email?
Yes, I did. And that's one to post on the forum, maybe to read out on air.
Absolutely, not the location of the week. And Adam Turner joins us. Good evening, Adam. Thank you, if I've got the right fader up. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Good. We're sitting here in the dark. I had to pull the battery out of my car just to power the studio.
There will be some very interesting video clips. We've shot one. Dr. Ron has been out there being Cecil B. DeRon, and there's a good video clip that'll end up on the airwaves.
Well, it's amazing what you can and can't do without power. We were trying to work out how to actually take a video of us all in the dark, saying, look, we're here, we'd love to bring you a TikTok radio, but we have no power. And then my mobile phone battery died, and then I put the memory card out of my phone into the wrong slot in the laptop, and then we had to do open heart surgery on the laptop to recover the...
Did you find the tweezers? Did someone have tweezers for you?
Yeah, we used...
I've had a pair of needle nose pliers.
Graham did very well, and we managed to recover that, and we finally made it. Finally made it.
Did it get up on the web...
I think Andrew was doing it.
I wasn't doing it.
It got halfway through the laptop, but we'll
and
get
then
up
suddenly
on the
power came on.
And everyone went, yippee! For those of you interested, we have a chicken shop across the road from us here. They've got very cheap chicken here, just opposite the studio.
They might be back in normal trading now.
Yeah, they could be. The oil fryers will be back up and doing all their stuff.
Mm.
Anyway, it's been 8 weeks thereabouts since we've been on the radio, and a lot has happened in that 8 weeks. And we've got a lot to jam-pack into tonight. Anyway, let's start off with a few interesting things. Obviously, Telstra is upright and centre too. We've got rid of Greg Wynne. Notice how they all quit while we're off air.
So that we can't bag them about.
Yeah, Greg Wynne's gone home.
And what about Sol? He's off as well.
Sol's, there's rumours aplenty. The speculation is now out for the replacement for Sol Trujillo. And the Sydney Morning Herald was winding it up this morning as well, stating that potentially he won't stay for his full tenure.
He'll be sorely missed.
What was it people were saying, Adam, about Sol? We were talking about this just before the mics went live. They said he'd come over here and...
We can't say that word on air.
No, we can't. He'd he'd do what he'd do to the organisation and he'd make a lot of money and he'd leave. And that's pretty much what's happened.
Like a seagull manager.
Yes, he's a seagull manager. Flies in.
Messes
all over everything. Makes a lot of noise and then just flies away.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear. I was just thinking, you know that It's Your Life type sort of television program that's on out there at the moment, you know, the Channel 9 guys that used to host it. You could say, who is this or who am I? Actually, it's more like a game show, isn't it? Let's just put it this way.
You're Andrew McCall.
Tony Barber.
I know this one.
Yep. I'm just trying to find the right sheet on my piece of paper here. Who am I? I've managed to sue a federal minister. Hands on the buzzers. I've managed to sue a federal minister. I've managed to call a national regulatory body untrustworthy, a rogue, and maggots. And I've also managed to call my competitors parasites.
I was in until you said maggots.
Where?
I could have been me.
No, to which the answer is obviously Telstra's Sol Trujillo in an article that came out today by Paul Buddha. If you subscribe to his blog, very interesting reading and all that sort of stuff. The roundup was the telco stimulus package, an Australian case study of how not to do it. But anyway, we should move on. I just thought that was quite interesting as we're first cab off the rank at the moment, and that's fairly breaking news around the country too.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
From which angle do we attack?
You've got a Black Monday fear for malware spikes.
That forum user has been executed with extreme prejudice.
Fly on the wall material and take
expletives, I suspect.
I don't need my internet filter.
Dr. Ron's test tube aliens.
He's had a few.
Big deal.
There's all sorts of interesting things in there, too.
Entertaining.
Wife acceptability factor.
WAF.
The WAF.
Informative.
Digital certificates as well.
Independent.
I reckon Adam might have something to say about it.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
That's for your iPod, sweetheart.
She said, what's an iPod? Twitter?
we do. Why not follow us? For the Tech Talk Radio Twitter feed, follow TTR2008 or visit techtalkradio.com.au to see what all the presenters are currently tweeting. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
All right, let's do a bit of a holiday wrap, shall we? Did any of you boys go away? What did you do? Did you play with technology? Graham, we know what you've been up to. You've brought in your handiwork this evening.
Yes, I got all excited one night while I was sitting in a radio studio with not a lot to do, as it happens. And, I thought,
without power?
Oh, no, just waiting for a CD to play for a couple of hours.
And, thank you very much for the podcast over there. It was great listening.
Yeah, we had some good shows. We played some really nice interviews over the summer.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And while I was bored for a couple of hours, I thought, well, why don't I download this beta of Windows 7?
You're the one.
And install it on my notebook.
Yeah, you haven't
never
seen...
Never worked again.
You haven't been watching... There's been a guy who's been working for the Sydney Morning Herald, and every time I log onto their webpage, he's on the right-hand side of my column going, well, I pay for an upgrade.
Yeah, that guy's so full of himself.
Absolutely. Sorry, go on.
Well, I'm still running Windows 7 on my notebook. I got it. I had downloaded the CD and the DVD in advance, so I had it with me. Within the 2 hours that I had, I managed to get my notebook up and running and connected to the wireless network and on the internet and able to see my email and stuff. So I was pretty pleased with that.
It's a 2 gig download.
Yeah, it's a bit over a 2 gig download. Yeah, it's an ISO file you burn to a DVD-ROM. And, you jam it in your machine and it installs.
I downloaded it before we had our major heat wave.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to try and do it now. But before the heat wave, it came down in about half an hour on an ADSL 2 service.
Yeah, it was a really good download. Microsoft had a lot of support by the time I got around.
They built another 100 servers or something, didn't they?
Yeah, there were stories when it first came out that their server just crashed with all the demand for it. Everybody's looking for an alternative to Vista, obviously. It installed on my second attempt. My first attempt to install it failed because I tried to do an upgrade install, which I thought would be nice to save all my documents and settings and all that stuff.
From XP?
From XP. And it won't allow you to upgrade from XP to Windows 7. You know, if I'd read the documentation ahead of time, I could have probably figured that out. But
who reads documentation in this day of modern computer technologies?
Yeah. So if you're running Vista, you can upgrade to the beta version of Windows 7, but you can't from XP. So let's
spit in the face of all our customers.
But the good thing it did do, it actually installed it. Even though it didn't install an upgrade, it installed a new installation of Windows, but it didn't format the disk, and it didn't trash all my data. So it actually installed it into the existing NTFS partition, and it copied all my, you know, everything that I had in my documents and my music and all that stuff. It copied those all off into a special separate area to keep it safe. And all I had to do was find all my stuff and drag it back into the new My Documents in the new Windows 7.
Now, the purist in me, Graham, says that if I was doing... or if I was embarking on such an adventure, I'd be wanting to blow everything away and just start again from scratch.
That's what Warlock's just said on the chat. He says, don't upgrade anything. It's a waste. It'll
yeah, well, what I've done,
grief.
I reckon, is the best of both worlds. I've got a clean install of Windows 7, but I haven't lost all my stuff. And I reckon I've lost any programs I had installed,
but
I haven't
data.
Lost my data. I haven't lost my, you know, umpteen gigabytes of WAV files that I've got on there for doing radio stuff. I haven't lost all my, all my documents that I use for work.
So you can go back, you can reinstall all the applications in your own time,
yep.
The ones that you want, they'll install cleanly.
And I've installed my audio editor, I've installed Office and, you know, a couple of things that I need.
And
And
all your data's going to still be there.
All my data's still there and I can use it. And I've been using Windows 7 quite happily on, and just to let you know, this is not the world's fastest computer either.
No, it's an IBM.
It's a couple of years old. It's a ThinkPad. The model is an R60.
What process is in it?
I'm just going to
obviously not a Centrino. I can't see
that
big sticker across it.
Yeah,
or
no,
like
it's an Intel. It's a T2300. If people are fans of the Intel model numbers, it's a 1.66 gigahertz.
So at first glance, like you were showing it to me before we lost power this evening, and the GUI seems good.
It's responsive, yeah. It's not running slow. I've got 1.5 gig of RAM in it, and I noticed that Windows 7, just sitting there doing nothing, runs at, you know, in the top end of the 500 meg of RAM. So if you've got a 512 meg machine, you're probably going to be a bit frustrated with it.
That's a lot. XP idles, I think, at about 300 from memory.
Yeah, depending on, yeah. If it's a good clean install and you've got not much running, 200 and something.
Yeah.
So it is a bit bigger in memory, but most machines these days have got a gig in them.
You know,
and it's not expensive to upgrade your machine.
Not these days. My little laptop here's got four.
There you go. This machine came with 512, and I put another gig in it. It's got 1.5
Back then, it's probably plenty. That's good.
So, and it runs nicely. It runs well enough, yeah. And I do audio editing. Pardon me, audio editing on it. I, you know, do my things. The only thing that was very... And I didn't have to download and find any drivers. It recognised all my hardware as it was, which was lucky because there's not a lot of support for it yet out there. The only thing I can't do is my mobile broadband card. The drivers just don't work. The application that does the connection to the network just does not install it. That was a complete
disaster.
Yeah,
but it is a beta, and you've got to be wary of
those
sort of things.
That's right, and it's a beta, and it's slightly exotic hardware. You don't expect that to work. My solution for that, I just went out and spent $100-something and bought a router that I can plug my mobile broadband into the router. The router converts it to Wi-Fi, and the Wi-Fi in Windows 7 works flawlessly. So
the D-Link one?
I got the Netcom one.
Oh, I got a D-Link one that's good that does that as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of them around that seem to do a good job. The one I got is a Netcom one because I've got the Merlin card from 3, which is a PC. It's a
Express PCI card.
The
Express
one I'm
PC
talking
card.
About. It's only just...
Yep.
Well, no, it might be USB and PC card.
Yeah, this one does USB, and it does the PCMCIA, so I've got to put my Express PC card in the PCMCIA adapter and put it in it.
Yep.
But if I had a USB one, I could plug it in the USB as well. And this router also supports, it's got an Ethernet in as well as an Ethernet out, so it'll do routing from a cable modem or something like that as well. So it basically is it'll basically serve as a backup of a lot of things. So, yeah, that's my experience with that Windows 7. I'm still running it. I haven't reverted back. I did keep an image of my old system so that I could go back very easily if I needed to, and I haven't yet.
Bulmer needs a bit of an edge up at these days. He's got a lot of an uphill battle, I reckon.
Yeah.
Anyway, now let's change camps. Let's go over to the Mac camp at the moment. JD, what have you been? You got your Apple TV.
I finally got my Apple TV just before Christmas.
And someone said in a promo, why bother?
he did, didn't he?
So what's the verdict, Judge?
If you're wanting to stream from iTunes, which is what I do, it works very well. It was a bit of a pain having to transcode just about every movie I own for it to work, but I've actually got AVI movies running on it quite nicely. That required me to hack the machine.
What do you mean by hack? So sorry.
Basically install some unauthorized software on it, which was actually relatively easy to do now. There's patch sticks you can purchase, but there's also a Google code site that allows you to download it, build your own. You basically plug the USB stick with this code in it on the back of your Apple TV, turn it off, turn it back on, and away you go. So it works quite well. Very happy with it. I use it for web browsing, although I've got to say having to get a keyboard out and plug it in is a bit of a nuisance. But it still works. So very happy with it for what I got it for, which is basically to watch my online content.
We don't have unauthorized software in the Windows world. It's a case of anything goes and buyer beware and good luck with your projects. What does it mean if you have unauthorized software?
Essentially, it means if you send your Apple TV back with a hack in it, they'll probably refuse to service it. But you just reinstall it from scratch and no one will know. So there's no great dramas from that point of view. So it's pretty much the same. Buyer beware, you do what you do, and if it causes dramas, no one will help you other than the user community. But there's a very large user community out there now.
So what's the hack letting you do? You said you're running a browser on it.
There's a couple of different things you can install. You can actually install OS X applications, only a limited number of them, but you can certainly put the Firefox web browser on. I haven't done that yet. There's another application called Couch Potato or Couch Surfer that's specifically written for the Apple TV with a sort of cut-down instruction set, and that works pretty well.
What does that do? That sounds like what I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's pretty much Firefox without the Firefox
interface. Oh, so it's a browser still.
Yeah, it's a browser.
Yeah.
And it's got a bookmark system so that it looks a bit like the Apple TV when you're browsing your bookmarks. I've installed the Perian set of codecs, which allows me to use DVI, OGG, and a whole lot of other codecs, should I need to do that. And I've installed Bluetooth on it, so I can use the Bluetooth keyboard The keyboard hack, so you can just plug a USB keyboard into it. There's a whole range of things you can get it to do. I've also got it running VNC, so if I need to, I can log into it from my iMac.
Running what?
VNC, which is a virtual network connection. So that
remote
you can bring,
desktop.
Remote desktop. So you can bring
so,
the...
So you can log into it from
yes.
one side of the...
Now, there's a little catch with that, and that is that there's a default password for all the Apple TVs, and it's the same on every one of them. So if you drive past my house and you log into it, and you know the default passwords, I'm in for a bit of strife. But
can't,
that's okay.
Can't you change the password?
Well, you can, but it's not recommended for the Apple TVs because it's so
embedded. That sounds like a good system. Can't change a password without fear of retribution.
Well, it's normally not Luddite neighbours.
It's normally not available to people. It's only if you hack it, it becomes available, you see.
So, which everyone would hack. Otherwise, yes. Why would you?
I'm pretty happy with that. And then I've lashed out and bought a Yamaha HD amplifier to drive it properly. So it arrived in the mail today.
Really? What? You mean an audio amplifier?
Well, an AV amplifier.
Oh, yeah.
So it runs HDMI. It upscales from composite component up to HDMI, which is great.
Yes, upscaling. Don't talk to me about upscaling. But anyway, we'll talk about that later.
The guys on the chat are talking about running other software such as XBMC Media Center and stuff like that on your Apple TV, which now, basically turns it into a proper media player like the Apple TV should be. So you could probably stream things like DivXs and AVIs off a network driver or another computer. And
that's
just
exactly
watch them.
What you want.
And, yes, and I've done exactly that, but XBMI, from my opinion, crap.
XBMC.
Yeah.
Sounds like a band.
I'm sure it works very well on an Xbox, and it probably works well on a PC, but compared to the interface to iTunes, it's rubbish.
Yeah.
And for being a Luddite when it comes to Macintosh and particularly Apple TV, you'd obviously have to hack or jailbreak or whatever the term was before to actually get this software onto your device.
Yep. Someone's mentioned BoxC there as well. BoxC allows you to connect to a particular network. So it doesn't actually assist you in playing extra content. It just makes other content available to you from social networking sites.
Very good. Very good. So you've been busy Christmas by the sounds of it, playing with all these new toys.
And I upgraded my old G4. So the Apple history people out there will know about the G4 cubes and G4 servers. I'm up to a G5 now.
Not
to the Intel yet, but we'll get there one day.
Very good. Well, whilst we're on the subject of television, a man near and dear to his heart, free TV. You've got
Freeview.
Freeview, that's them. The free TV version of pay TV.
It's
Freeview.
A crock.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a crock. It's nothing but a marketing campaign.
The free TV version of pay TV.
Yeah.
Right? Basically, digital TV can get 3 more channels this year because the commercial networks are allowed to have another channel. So that bumps it up to 15, right? 3 per 5 major networks, right?
Yep.
But they've got these Freeview ads saying 15 digital channels, making it sound like you've got some new thing, right?
I've seen those ads. Yeah. I didn't really understand
they
them.
They look like TiVo.
Advertising
ads.
Doesn't work on me.
You can't understand them because they don't tell you anything, because if they told you something, they'd be giving away the fact there's nothing to tell.
Right.
It's rubbish. It's a marketing campaign. It's, hey, look, we're digital TV. We're free. Don't pay for Foxtel. Come to us. We've got 15 channels. Oh, yeah, 12 of them you already had.
So what's Freeview? What is it?
It's just the name.
Freeview is a name they've slapped on all the television that we already had anyway.
Bingo. Yeah. They're trying to sell us something that we've already got as something new.
You're looking confused. Imagine what the consumers are like, and we're supposedly tech savvy.
This is bizarre.
Yeah.
So it's what we would have called free-to-air up until a short time ago.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. And we're actually going to lose a channel anyway. It's going to be 14 because 10 are bringing out a new channel in April. They're turning their high-definition channel into a 24-hour sports channel.
It's there now, actually. If you have a look, Channel 12, it comes up HD.
But it's not a 24-hour sports channel.
Not yet.
But when they do that, they're going to take their second standard-definition channel and make that a simulcast of the high-definition sports channel. So 10 will have 3 stations, but 2 of them will be showing the same thing.
Oh.
And so if you've been watching anything on 10 in high definition, like, you know, they show the X-Files and stuff like that, and oh, you might be watching Letterman in high definition or anything like that, forget it. You've lost it all. You won't be able to watch anything that's on 10 in high definition after April unless it's sport. So if you're a sports fan, great. If you're a sci-fi fan, you just got screwed.
Well, that's definitely going to compete with Foxtel because that's what they hang their hat on in a lot of respects.
And then suddenly you start going, but if you're a sci-fi fan, you suddenly start going,
gee, well, maybe Foxtel's not so bad. Oh, screw it. I'll just go to BitTorrent and download high-definition versions of what I want to watch.
Which we've done anyway, because it was all came out a year ago now.
Exactly. But so they're spitting in people's faces, and then they're going to wonder why they leave. Now, Seven's been doing the fast-track thing with Lost last year. You know, they had big ads fast-tracking. We're showing it to you straight away.
You have to wait a week
Don't think it's just Channel 7. The ABC did it with Doctor Who because of the fact that they were scared that peer-to-peer... I saw it before it went to air.
Lost has been back on in the US for 2 weeks now. Now, I know that the Australian Open is on, but it looks like they've just given up on this fast-tracking thing because they know people don't download stuff because they want to see it first. They download it because they're sick of being screwed by Seven, and it's just easier to download it.
Yep. It's because of the new net filter trials. Just slowed everything down by 87%. It takes Channel 7 days to download that.
As we've talked about that before, anyone can get around that anyway. There's BitTorrent. I've started to mess around with Usenet, which is what people who really know, who really want to download stuff use. So I'll be talking about that in the next few weeks.
Usenet's what we used to use to download stuff back in the 80s.
Yeah, but the old binary files.
But now people are just taking movies and music, whatever, turn it into just binary files, putting it up, you bring it back down, comes down very quick.
So it's been reborn, has it?
Last time I looked at Usenet, it was 120% spam and robots.
Nah, well, maybe parts of it still are, but if you want content, and it can't be filtered the way they're talking about filtering BitTorrent, they'd have to block Usenet.
Would anyone know?
Everyone who's using it as an alternative to BitTorrent would know.
Adam, there's no one using Usenet.
Really?
Yeah, there is.
There is. And they're using it to download movies and television shows. And they're probably all sitting there right now going, shut up!
Whilst I was travelling the land...
Yes, TARDIS 3 and porn.
I went... We took the family down south and went to a few holiday locations. Can I just say that the amount of people that just have no idea how to set up television sets these days, I just find it absolutely amazing. You go into these resorts and they go, great, you've got a widescreen LCD television set. Well, not to mention that they've obviously done the bulk deal and bought them for $3.50 each and they look like it. Everything's stretched, like it's 4x3 and 16x9, so all the faces are really fat. And it's just really, really ordinary the way that accommodation treats viewers of television signals. Or am I mistaken? Is that just the way the average Joe public watches their television
these days? And they're set up like that on the shelves.
But do you remember when colour first came out in the 70s and everyone turned the colour right up because it was a novel thing and people had... you know, flushed red faces and bright green grass and...
Yes. I must admit, one thing I have enjoyed, I have moved recently...
There's a whole generation of people that don't know that grass is supposed to be green.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I think it's a trick in Photoshop or something. Yeah, they're doing that. The cricket's been absolutely fantastic in high definition, I must admit. Channel 9's done a really good job of the cricket. And it's actually held together quite well, being fairly critical of the television picture. Some guy did an article on me about motion flow recently, and the Channel 9 stuff and the sport just looks really good on the new big telly that I've got, which is, excellent. And I've moved into the world of Blu-ray. Blu-ray is a wonderful format, and it makes you just absolutely not watch commercial high-definition television. Once you've seen Blu-ray and the high-def stuff off those devices, it's amazing. But one thing I have noticed, I managed to get hold of a movie, The Dark Knight, just because it's topical at the moment and all that sort of stuff. But they've decided to do different things on the Blu-ray format.
I've heard this.
It goes from features, you mean?
Yeah. Excuse me. It actually changes its aspect ratio as the movie plays. And I was sort of sitting there watching it and I'm going, oh, it's not the true anamorphic. It's actually, and it starts off in a 16x9 ratio, so it fills the whole screen of the television set. Then all of a sudden you're in anamorphic land, 1 to whatever, 80, whatever the ratio is.
I had heard that some of that's been filmed in 3D and some of it hasn't been, so that could be the reason.
Is that just this movie?
This is this movie, yeah. Oh, okay. Because it's obviously done very well in the box office and it's doing exceptionally well out there in the video libraries and in the purchase. And I think it's actually going back to the cinemas.
And on BitTorrent.
Usenet.
And Usenet.
Yeah, good. But I just thought that was really strange. I hope they don't start doing this on a regular basis because that would drive me absolutely crazy, having ratio changes as you're watching a film going down the track.
Yes. It's to accommodate Americans who can't comprehend the fact that if there's black bars at the top and bottom of the screen, they're not missing something.
Mm-hmm. Are you pointing the finger at our foreign friends saying that they don't like that? Well,
that's why you have the zoom feature under the... with your aspect ratio control button, you keep hitting it and you'll go into zoom mode, so it pulls you right in and gets rid of the bars and maintains the
screen on the side of the screen. Too. Screw it up in your lounge room. Don't screw it up on the disc.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. couldn't agree more. So that's been my trials and tribulation over the course of travelling. And on the other side of travelling, I've been playing around with, obviously, the mobile broadband coverage. Can I just say that despite the fact that we bag Telstra, their network works exceptionally well.
That's what you pay the money for.
Absolutely. The technology that they've got out there and the ability to sit on a beach in the middle of nowhere and just connect with full-strength signal from wherever it was that we were connecting from was a credit to them. Anything else, like...
Your three servers for $40 a month, that's not going to happen.
Why did you need broadband on the beach? Why weren't you looking at bikini girls and having a frolic in the surf online?
Yeah. Why wouldn't you need broadband on a beach?
You were sitting on a beach with a laptop looking at bikini girls on the laptop.
Have you remembered the title of the show?
Well, I was trying to use Next Gen on holidays.
Have you still got that Nerd Alert sound effect?
Someone needs it. It's not me this time.
I went to the middle of freaking Nowheresville with some friends up past Marysville.
I was about to say Geelong.
No. And... we were right, supposedly, on the edge of the Next G voice, video, and data coverage, about 500 metres away from the zone where they reckoned you'd needed a car kit to get it. Now, I couldn't make voice calls on my Jazz Jam, but I could get data. Now, my other mate who had a different HTC phone could, but that's more to do with the Jazz Jam known for having a terrible aerial.
Yeah.
So Telstra should not be selling these crappy phones that don't have decent aerials in them.
Well, I think the... aerial is the least of the problems of a Jazz Jam, having been a Jazz Jam user.
Yeah, I didn't say it was its only problem. But I had to resort to using that.
Windows 6.
I had to resort to using that because my iPhone is an old iPhone, so it'll only run on the Edge network, and there's no Edge up there, baby.
Edge, I rolled back onto Edge in one of my places where I was plugged another service provider's card in there. Oh, that was painful.
Vodafone was up there on GPRS. Oh, it took 20 seconds to load the Google search page and then another 20 to load the image.
Oh, a whole 20 seconds.
Well, what is it? It's just an icon and a thing to put a bar and click a search.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Anyway, poor Google's in the news of late too for all the wrong reasons. But I've got to ask Dr. Ron, you've been off air for 8 weeks. What's been going on, Dr. Ron?
I have. I've had lots of feedback and lots of correspondence from people saying,
where are you? You've been working. You haven't had a holiday, have you?
No, I haven't had a holiday. I had Christmas, I had Boxing Day, and I had 2 days after that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been, just normal work for me. And we've had people actually asking us, this summer series, haven't we heard these before? Are we recycling summer series programs?
Never happened.
What a terrible accusation.
Never.
That was outrageous. We had to go and record some new ones, especially after we got that email.
I did a best of Adam Turner compile whilst we were away. Did you hear it? It got rave reviews. Good for you. Especially the one with Telstra and Optus. Remember that passionate weather?
Yes. Adam does get passionate about such things. David Morris says, hello everyone at TikTok Radio. Hello, David. I've recently discovered your program and am thoroughly enjoying it so far. Oh, that's nice. I'm an IT manager. I've purchased an iPhone and was looking at the available podcasts, which is where I stumbled upon Tech Talk. I've downloaded all episodes that I could via iTunes. I'm currently going through each episode. That's going to take a long time.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
He reckons he should have caught up by sometime July 2009. Well, that's good.
We'll see you then.
Thanks, David. All the best.
So he'll be listening to this in about July.
In July.
Yeah, that's right.
Tim Devlin says, hi, guys. What's happening with the podcast? Thanks, Tim. We had a couple of minor problems, Tim, with the podcast.
No, we didn't. We were just on holidays.
Is there a podcast?
The podcast was being produced, but we had some problems updating the RSS feed. But I trust that you've caught up, Tim, now with everything. John Williams says, do you blokes ever get a holiday? We may have just answered that. John, the answer's no. Andy Bloom says, hi, guys. Welcome back. Hi, Andy. Thanks for the welcome back. You may remember I emailed you late last year about some issues I had with Vodafone.
He had a mega bill, didn't
and
he?
And some excess data usage charges, unquote, that had accrued during a trip to New Zealand in November. It was mentioned on the show briefly. Well, it's all been sorted out. Long story short, during December 2008, my service was suspended 3 times as no department talked to each other. The people who agreed not to suspend the service never put notes on the account to say that, so the people who suspend the service never knew that another department had said this and that and etc. December 24, my service was again cut off. I sat on the phone for...
Sounds like an Adam turnaround here, careful.
5 hours.
Yeah.
5 hours begging and pleading for it to be restored. It was, although for calls and SMS only, no data. The only reason this occurred is because I pointed out that it was unfair to be without a service over Christmas and unable to sort it out while their officers were away on holiday for 10 days.
Which company are we talking about here?
The Big V. By this point, the excess charges were up to $3,188.
Ooh.
After Christmas, I lodged a complaint with the TIO. Amazingly, someone at Vodafone was happy to listen and sort it out.
That'll do it.
They agreed to cut the overall bill to just $500, which was great, as even my legitimate use... As even with my legitimate use, it came out in front for me. The chick at Vodafone said it would be too hard to establish what was and wasn't legitimate. It was just easier to go down that path. Either way, it's all been sorted. He was in the Vodafone shop upgrading his handset. They rang him while he was in the shop, and they cut off his phone service again one last time. That was the short version. So there you go, Andy. Well, hopefully you're back up and running and you've found yourself a phone network.
I start screaming and swearing at them after 5 hours. I'm good for the first five, and then I lose it.
It's very difficult because you get faced with a telephone operator who it's not usually that person's fault.
But when they're not listening to you, though, that's when I lose it.
That's the problem. But, good on them for coming to the party and, fixing
up
the bill.
At least they got it sorted out.
But it shouldn't take reporting to the TIO to get to that stage.
To get a simple problem fixed.
That's right. You shouldn't have to go to the TIO.
It's just because they're all too big for themselves. Yeah. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
Yep, that's a big part of the problem.
Plenty of people out there that it's happening to, though. Whenever I write about it on my Sydney Morning Herald blogs, I get hundreds of comments from people just leaving their horror stories about what's happened to them.
If you've got a similar horror story, send it to feedback@techtalkradio.com.au and let us know. We'll discuss it.
I was reading, whilst I was on holiday, some poor dude got a $6,000 Big Pun bill for playing games online or something like that, used his excess cap or something. I thought,
How is Jeff Hudson? Is he going well? I haven't spoken to him for a long time. Sorry. A friend of the panel and the show who has a renegade son that does such things.
Absolutely. Yes. Hey, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
That you are. Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. A full contingency of panelists here this evening talking about all sorts of things technical. One thing which we probably need to address now is Google's little dilemmas of recent times, not to mention the fact that they said everyone was malware.
Including themselves.
What happened there? Dr. Ron, you mentioned it in the news this evening.
That was funny. Let me bring my news notes up here. They had a third-party organisation that they work with, and that organisation goes through by hand and looks at all of the submissions and all of the rankings on Google and all the sites that they have indexed, and it looks at them manually to try and determine if the site is legitimate or if it tries to install malware on your computer, which means it tries to force programs down to load dialers and spam stuff and viruses and nasty things. What they accidentally did was, it's obviously something fairly simple that they do. They must send a plain text data file to Google of some description, and it says if the address contains the string techtalkradio.com.au, then mark it as malware.
Yep.
Someone in that data file at the top has just put a forward slash. And
basically a wildcard.
Basically a wildcard.
It's covered everyone. Really?
It has. It's covered everybody, including Google. So for a short space in time, about an hour or so, until they realized and fixed the problem, any site that you searched for in Google, when the results came back, that was flagged as warning this site may be harmful to your computer, including if you Googled Google.
Yes.
That reported Google as being potentially harmful to your computer. So they were very red-faced and embarrassed, but they did fix the problem.
But not only did it report it as being... malware, but when you clicked on the link, it took you to a different page that gave you a big red screen and warned you about it.
Because I was using my computer at the time, and it called a site that I'd already used malware, and I thought, that's weird. But then, it wouldn't let me get through to it. I couldn't find a way to get around it.
Yeah, I had to copy and paste the URL into the address bar to get around it,
Really?
That's what I did in the end to get around it,
The third-party organisation is stopbadware.org, and they manually analyse websites, and they make recommendations to Google. So that was
That'd be very handy having that sort of link into a number one search engine.
That's a lot of power that they have, isn't it? A lot of power.
Whoops, just took it out a competitor.
Google apologised and thanked users for their understanding.
Conroy would like to have a direct link in there, I would imagine.
Imagine that.
Anyway, we haven't spoken about that tonight either.
Not yet.
In the abridged version of Tech Talk Radio. Hey, whilst we're talking about Google, the Sydney Morning Herald reported that Google has fessed up to an accident involving one of its cars and a deer, an incident that was captured by the car's special camera and later included on the street view of Google Maps.
Oh, no.
Bambi goes splat.
Oh, yeah. .com.
Google. But there you go. It had to happen.
Not as exciting as the exploding whale.
No, nothing beats exploding whale. It's It's gone in history.
Okay, good. Google removed the images from the Street View earlier after several blog posts linked to the incident on Google Maps, but not before the images were captured and republished on the unofficial Street View Gallery
site. For anyone who hasn't seen it, you get the, see the deer getting closer and closer and closer, and then you see a shot behind the car and the deer is not moving. It's not pretty.
Does it all happen in slow motion?
Oh, well, you can see each frame.
Frame by frame.
Frame by frame as it gets closer and closer. And it doesn't even look like the guy swerved. That's the worst thing about it.
Poor Bambi.
No,
what was it? It was a deer.
Doe, a deer.
Yes.
A female deer.
Female deer.
Yeah. So that was the Google news for the week. I thought that was rather humorous when that came in. So anyway, the filter agreement, the on-again, off-again filtering system is, who knows what state it is at the moment. But
they won't tell us. That's one of the problems.
Yeah, the bids are in for the National Broadband Network, and that's all being kept very close to the chest by a certain minister. The
iiNet wants to trial the net filter. And they haven't had a reply yet from the government.
Oh, really?
Telling them when they can start the trial.
They admitted the only reason why they want to trial it is so they can prove how bad it is.
Yes, and how it won't work.
And they've also got 15 lawyers crawling up their backside at the moment, so I think they've got other things to worry about.
Do you think Mr.
They're
Conroy...
They're the ones who got sued by the entire movie industry.
Oh, there's AFACT.
Yeah.
So what's the deal
suspicious.
There?
That, tell me that's a coincidence.
No, it's, yeah,
the
right.
one ISP who makes the most noise about filtering and stuff suddenly gets hit with the mother of all lawsuits.
There's a an ISP in Ireland that's actually disconnecting users for doing naughty things, and I'm just trying to find it here amongst my notes. Here we go. Irish internet service provider Aircom, EIRCOM.
Aircom.
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 Yeah.
Yep.
Has agreed to disconnect users who download music illegally from the web in a settlement with four major record companies that Irish media said was the first of its kind in the world. The record companies being the top four, as you'd expect, EMI, Sony, Universal and Warner. They all had wanted Icom to install software from a US firm to detect fingerprint of copyrighted music files being sent on its networks. Well, that's all right, unless it's encrypted.
I was going to say, let's just switch on your VPN, people.
Use Usenet or whatever it is like that. So, anyway, so we got the filter that's, I don't know, is it going to start? Or do you reckon we'll ever get there? Or do you reckon someone will, because Telstra said, Blake's basically, no, go away, don't bother
eventually us. They're going to have to give up. I think they're just looking for a way to save face at the moment. They have to do their trials. They can't cancel their trials, but they'll do their trials and then find an excuse to go, we just figured out something we didn't know, it won't work, forget about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll just be buried under...
It's not going to work, but they've got to save face.
They're just
waiting. There'll be a politically correct withdrawal strategy in place.
Yeah. And they'll announce it the same day we invade Nauru.
Yeah.
That's right. They'll wait for something massive to happen.
Or life's discovered on Mars.
That's right. Yes. That's
they'll just get buried on page three.
By the way, the net filter.
Yeah, it's a standard news trick. You wait until something huge happens and then everybody puts out
quick,
their
badge. Quick, now's the time. And you do the press release at about 5 o'clock on a Friday.
5 to 5 on Christmas Eve or something like that.
Yeah, that'll do the trick. Or before the long weekend and you'll never... It'll get buried. Anyway, that's the internet filter. Now, the other thing, too, we've got to look forward to is the NBN announcement, which, I don't know, Telstra's obviously out, or are they? You've got to wonder, there was speculation whether they're going to get another look in, potentially if they have a change in guard between now and the fact that they're stalling the announcement and things like that. Obviously, no one's heard anything about what's going on with the NBN.
Well, they can't get back into the tender process, but that doesn't necessarily mean they can't be part of the final thing. It just means they can't get into the tender process.
Mm. And they'll take their unbundled local loop and move everyone onto their new fibre to the house or whatever it is that they're going to install. And
then let the copper degrade even faster than it already is.
Yeah. Good for high frequency. Good for the ADSL. We'll all have to go over to fibre down the track and pay an arm's length. Telstra want their 18% minimum return on any investment, which is... not bad if you can get it, really, in this day and age of global financial crisis. The other thing, too, we've got to keep an eye on, too, is the strapped cash federal government now. They just don't have any cash. They've given it all away.
They gave it all away and people took it to the pokies.
Absolutely. They've taken it all away.
Or and put it in the bank. Put it in their bank account.
No, they didn't. They spent it in the pokies. It was in the paper.
The government.
The pokies had the biggest month ever.
Which
they're
paper?
They're calling it Kevin Rudd Friday.
Which paper? The Financial Review or the Herald Sun?
No, don't read the Hun.
So, yes, we've got this global financial crisis thingy, which means money's really tight at the moment. Business is not doing anywhere near like what business is doing in recent times, which means all those taxes that they would normally collect just aren't there. Petrol's come down a little bit, so the taxes there aren't there anymore. Where's the government going to get their money? So they're going to have to start looking at cutting either infrastructure or things like national broadband networks. Maybe it'll be delayed. Maybe that's the ace up their sleeve, because they've been awfully quiet about it in recent times, haven't they?
Nothing. They're busy making noise about other things.
Nothing since Christmas, at least. So.
Conroy's busy releasing yet another package about how digital TV is going to work.
Oh, really?
They put out the same press release every 6 months with a new date on it.
Yeah, they're going to give... I haven't seen the latest one. I better update the webpage.
If you've seen any of the others, you've seen the latest one.
Oh, have I? Okay, cool.
They're going to give set-top boxes away to pensioners in Mildura.
Absolutely.
In the state's northwest.
There are black spots in Mildura where a set-top box will do you no good.
That's right. So they're going to fund a satellite program as well or something, Mr. Conroy
really?
Said.
They're going to put a bird in the air so some old lady in Mildura can watch that... digital TV, fantastic.
Yep. And the regional broadcasters have gone berserk because they've said they're going to have no control over the content. Not be able to get local or regional content down the from the satellite.
Well, Mildura's the first to be turned off very shortly. The Rudd government's going to give away set-top boxes.
End of this year. He's committed to...
$13.6 million trial switchover assistance package.
That's the reason why Mildura is first is because they've already got some channels that you can only pick up with digital TV. I think it's Channel 10. So there is already a high penetration of digital set-top boxes in Mildura. Probably higher than anywhere else in the country.
And how long do we have to wait in the cities? 2013,
I think it was.
The end
last time
of 2013 for Metro Melbourne. And mid-2012, I think, for the rest of regional Victoria.
That is ridiculous.
But don't hold your breath.
Yeah. Well, look what's happened in the US. They were going to switch it off. Then at the last minute, they went, 50 million people are going to lose their television. They're going to be very angry.
Well, even
a big reason why they had the US switch off just after a presidential election.
And haven't they delayed it another 4 months?
They're thinking about it.
Yeah.
But it gives people 4 years to get over how angry they are when they lost their television.
Nothing worth watching on anyway, is there? I know, I make the stuff. Oh, there's a giveaway.
How did everybody cope when we turned off the analog phone network and the CDMA phone network? It's a big task. It's a big job, but it can be done, and we survived. We got over it.
Well, at least
we moved
now,
on.
Most phone company gave
you could
me a
get
phone.
A handset for a dollar.
Yeah.
Or,
well, the federal government's going to be the rate they're going in 2013. They'll be giving every household 3 set-top boxes just to shut everybody up.
Mm. And a water tank.
And a water tank.
Absolutely.
But no solar.
To put the set-top boxes
no solar.
Yeah.
No solar. So you won't be able to watch your telly and you won't be able to pump your water. So what's the point?
I want an Apple TV for Christmas.
Why? It doesn't do anything.
Well,
there's a thought.
A world of opportunity always.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like my podcast, though.
802.11 ends. G's, B's.
You are where all this spam is coming from.
Sorry, that was a battery.
The
thought you were losing your marbles.
Entertaining.
I don't have a bread knife that cuts through shoes.
That's
informative.
5 gig on Telstra. Well, it's not even worth considering.
Independent.
That was a complete and utter debacle. But
you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Yeah,
Stephen Conroy came out and...
Good.
He'll sort it out.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
JD, you're probably interested in this. Apple wins a patent for the iPhone touchscreen controls. Now, what's this going to mean to people like BlackBerry?
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And it's only for the gestures, so it's not for the technology.
The gestures?
Yes, quite. Yeah. Thank you. For those of you with the webcam.
Sorry, that's for the webcam viewers only.
The one-fingered sweep.
That's the one, the way you flick it, yes.
So, I haven't read deeply about it, but the conversations I've seen, it's all about the gesturing with your fingers and using your thumb as a pivot point and all that sort of stuff. It's not actually the technology behind it, because, in fact, Apple weren't the first to market. And, in fact, there's other patents out there already for the technology.
But I was reading in a press release from the Apple faithful, the back in the head office, that they were going to rigorously pursue any form of infringement
I'm led to believe there's a recent Palm device that uses the same gesturing as the iPhone, so apparently that's their big target.
Okay.
It's one particular Palm product. I don't know which one it is.
So watch this space and see whether the litigation kicks in, because obviously Apple's cashed up out of all the IT companies. I reckon they've probably got the best because of the...
they've done very well.
They don't have their eggs in one basket. They're into music players, TV things and phones. So
And with their new iLife 09 and iLife.com, where they're allowing you to do online collaboration using software that's actually installed on your computer. So it's a bit of a hedge between... A cloud computing solution and a local solution, they're slowly getting into that as well. So they're becoming a service provider.
Hello? That was Adam. Thank you, Adam.
Rather than a hardware provider.
That wasn't. Oh, very good. Adam's battery in his laptop's died. Anyway. All right. So what of Mr. Jobs? Like we've across, that was one of the other things across the course of the holiday break where Apple investors were getting a bit angry that Steve Jobs hadn't been forthcoming in his ailments.
I think it's pretty clear he's been less than honest.
But, yeah, what's going on there? Have you heard?
Well, he's taken 6 months' leave.
He's dead again yet or not?
Well, he had pancreatic cancer previously, which he supposedly recovered from, and that's not a particularly nice disease to have, so it's amazing that he recovered. There's some speculation that he's got... Well, the cover story is he's got a hormone imbalance, and, you know, that's probably true. But the speculation is that he's got liver cancer, and he's probably unlikely to survive that.
I know someone who's had the same cancer that Jobs has got, and he said that the hormone imbalance that he said he had is a very simple thing that any doctor should have picked up a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it sounds suspicious that it would... This guy would have the best doctors in the world, right? It sounds suspicious that it would take them so long to pick up what is such a simple thing.
Certainly wouldn't expect money would be a problem, would you?
Mm, yeah. So if you were trying to create a smoke screen... But it would be a good thing to choose because it sounds feasible, unless you know enough about it to go, hang on, why did it take him so long to pick it up?
So in the meantime, the Chief Operating Officer, Tim Cook, is the acting... Well, he's not really the acting CEO because Steve's still the CEO. He's just not there. And Tim's done some interesting stuff recently in some teleconferences, basically spouting the party line about what their products are about and what the company's about. So everyone's very confident. However, if Steve does unfortunately succumb, then it'll be interesting to see what happens to the stock price.
He has to spout the company line. Everyone in Apple has a trap door under their chair. You say one wrong word.
Yeah, but no one's holding the lever at the moment. That's the thing.
You say one wrong, because that's what
like a Dr. Evil's boardroom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what happens to the Apple PR people. If they ever say the wrong thing, they pull the lever on them. And that's why now they're afraid to say anything, because they've seen what happened to other people who said something when they weren't supposed to.
And what's the deal with Macworld? Because they've finished up with all that sort of stuff, haven't they?
Well, they got out of one of the other Macworlds. I think it was the Boston Macworld. They left, and then the Macworld conference itself there died altogether. So they've pulled out of the other one, the main Macworld conference. It'll probably still continue because it's about the only place where Apple developers can get together with each other and talk about their new products and so forth. But they've certainly pulled out of that, probably because they'll use their own conferences or their own Super Tuesdays to release new products. But they've certainly released a couple of interesting things of late. No great machinery. They've got a 17-inch MacBook that they've bought out with a nice new all-in-one aluminium case that's environmentally friendly and the glossy screen.
What's your one that you're using here, JD? That's a PowerBook, isn't it?
The old G4. I'm about five generations old here.
But, right, right.
Adam's got a more recent machine, the MacBook.
Mine's about 12 or 18 months old. It's a black MacBook.
But most of the releases at Macworld were actually software-related. So it was the upgrade to iLife. So there's some new features in iPhoto and iMovie and so forth. And the new version of iWork, which is slowly improving. And as I mentioned earlier, their online collaboration tools. Not really a collaboration tool because you can't edit a document. You can just comment on it. But that's a good start.
And what about their online store? Because wasn't there things were getting pulled left, right and centre up there and... Is there any news for the iPhone and where you download your apps and all that sort of stuff?
No, the apps are still there. Certainly, there was a story, and I don't know whether we talked about this last year or not, but there were certainly a few apps that got published and then withdrawn because either they competed with Apple's own product or it didn't go in the direction that Apple wanted it to go.
And then put up and then withdrawn again with no explanation to the developer. The big one was the tethering application that lets you use your iPhone to provide internet access to your notebook. And the reason why we think they pulled that is because AT&T, which is the US network that they work with, weren't very happy because in the US you get unlimited data with your iPhone. So if you can hook up to your notebook, fantastic. Here, Telstra would probably love it if you could tether your iPhone to your notebook because they charge you through the nose for the data.
And you can. I've installed it, but you need to jailbreak your phone.
Yeah, there are hacks. There are ways to go around it, but officially you can't do it.
And they've removed DRM from iTunes.
Yay!
Yes.
Yay! It's only taken them, 5-10 years to work that one out?
So now we can distribute the 128K audio that we downloaded.
Well, didn't they actually up that? Well, didn't they increase it? I haven't bought iTunes for ages.
Quality as well. Yeah.
256? Hold on to your seats.
256 right, is then. Listenable.
It's not too watery, but then again, it's all right if you're, you know, on the back of the tractor or running on the treadmill or something like that. You can stick it in your iPod and away you go.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
another interesting news tidbit that came through this week, which I thought, once again, the Sydney Morning Herald's been very full of interesting stories this week. Stanford University scientists are perfecting an email system that figures out who messages are intended for and finds them whether or not the sender knows the address. How's this going to work?
Am I the only one who thinks this sounds dumb?
Yeah, no.
It might be dumb, or it could be really, really clever.
Is it so dumb that it's blowing your mind? Yeah.
Well, in fact,
the thing that bothers me is if you get something that's not intended for you.
Yeah. Well, you yes. won't. You won't if the system works.
Well, I guess.
Is it going to do away with SMTP? That's what I want to know.
Oh, yeah. Semantic technology that understands phrases and relationships between words instead of simply recognizing typed characters can scour databases and the internet to track down the intended email recipients. And this has all been devised by some Stanford computer scientists. In fact, Michael Genesreth, I think if that's how you pronounce his name, and fellow researcher in Ireland and Austria, basically have been testing these things for a couple of years now. So, I don't know. It doesn't say anything about getting rid of SMTP servers, which is the traditional email method of communicating at the moment. So,
my guess is that it will still have real email addresses in the background, but instead of you typing in the email address, you will type in "to my boss" and it will go to a LDAP server or whatever they're called or something and go, okay, this is you, your boss is this person, right, I'll send it to them.
Unless you just change jobs or you work multiple jobs.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, but you can't get rid of... You can't have email addresses without some kind of address. You'd have to restructure the entire thing.
I know. You put it back to something like Australia Post, the postal service.
Yeah.
Pop a letter in the mailbox.
Email addresses work. Leave it alone. Spend your time figuring out other things like how to get rid of spam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pop a letter in the mailbox saying to Dr. Ron. Probably find him, but yeah. There'd be a lot of other Dr. Rons out there, I would imagine.
Care of the South Pole.
Yeah, iPhoto's exactly. got a new feature in it that sounds very similar to this called Faces. So supposedly it can find individual faces in your album and pull them all together. One guy actually had his girlfriend pop up in his iFaces, supposedly as him. There was a statue from Iran came up as him. so it's not quite there yet.
Oh, well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we? Speaking of spam, Valentine's Day is nearly upon us, boys, apart from the fact that you probably have no intentions of emailing your beloved. But the Valentine's spam is starting to heat up again, which I guess is pretty typical for this time of the year. It happens, what, around Father's Day, presidential elections, global financial crises and things
Any
like that.
Any excuse. Yeah.
Both Semantic and the US Computer Emergency Response Team, USERT, is issuing advisories under a number of malicious spam messages were found to be using Valentine's Day themes. Anyway, if you're that way inclined, what's your inbox?
I heard a report as well that apparently there's a spam email going around that purports to come from the ATO and has the ATO logo on it and asks for your credit card details so that they can send you your tax return.
But make sure if you send your credit card details, you put the expiry date there and the special number on the back of the card so they can completely destroy you financially, not
That's
just make
right.
a couple of transactions.
So if you get an email that seems to come from the ATO, it didn't. Don't answer it.
Send it to me.
Yep. Adam collects.
Send
Adam
credit card details to Adam Turner.
Escrow.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
From which angle do we attack?
You've got a Black Monday fear for malware spikes.
That forum user has been executed with extreme prejudice.
Fly on the wall material and take
expletives, I suspect.
I don't need my internet filter.
Dr. Ron's test tube aliens.
He's had a few.
Big deal.
There's all sorts of interesting things in there too.
Entertaining.
Wife acceptability factor.
WAF.
The WAF.
Informative.
Digital certificates as well.
Independent.
I reckon Adam might have something to say about it.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
That's for your iPod, sweetheart.
She said, what's an iPod?
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Alrighty. In other interesting news too, Microsoft to unblock the Windows service packs. Microsoft's planning to end a feature which allows users to block the automatic installation of Windows service packs. So that means that when the big Microsoft gods decide to say that we're going to roll out a new version of an operating system or a service pack or an
don't
update.
Don't be connected to Winnicott.
Don't be connected, otherwise you're going to cop it, baby.
If you're on a 200 meg per month account with Telstra, you will get screwed.
Well, that's a valid point. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the people that are running fairly mission-critical software that don't want to roll back
if you,
or put
If you're really that fast, then, yeah, turn off... turn your updates to manually ask you about each update before you install it.
I think this is going to override this.
Yeah. It'll even override that.
Well, allegedly... Well, as I say, it says...
No, they're talking about this SP blocker thing that allows you to keep your automatic updates on but block the service pack from coming down.
The company revealed last Thursday that it would be removing the option of blocking the Windows XP Service Pack 3 and Windows Vista Service Pack 1 updates from the automatic update service.
Yeah.
So
that's right. That's what, yeah. If you can keep your automatic updates on, you run a special program that tells it not to download Service Pack 3. And
this is getting needlessly messy for people who don't want to do this sort of stuff. But as Adam said, if you're on a Telstra dial-up 200 meg plan, you're going to be paying $6,000 for your next internet bill and not know it.
Yeah,
and especially if you've got a couple of laptops.
The other side of that is, if you let people get away with not doing it, then you're going to have the problem. You know, anyone out there who's scared of Windows service packs, you know, running Windows XP Service Pack 1 still, then they are where all that spam is coming from. It's people running insecure machines with old service packs, not doing all their updates, and that's not half the problem with all the spam that we're getting.
The man has a point.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Microsoft do some strange things in their time. Watch happens with Windows 7 when that comes out. You know, there'll be updates pretty quick, smart.
And it's a bug fix. Anyone who's paid for Vista should get Windows 7 for free.
I agree.
Microsoft admit that it's just Vista with all the rubbish taken out of it, so don't make people pay for it twice.
Yes. Bulmer actually mentioned that, I think, when he was out here in Australia, didn't he?
He admitted that it's just like Vista, only better. It's like, fine, well then give it to people who paid for Vista.
And XP's still available? I haven't tried buying a copy of it in recent times, but I believe XP's still out there on the market for those who want to go out and buy it. They've threatened on numerous occasions to actually, you know, close it off to OEMs, which are the people who make the computers and stuff like that, but it's still out there.
Yeah,
it's one of the reasons why they're fast-tracking Windows 7.
What, Vista?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and because they want to get rid of XP. You watch, as soon as Windows 7 comes out, XP-B. They'll put their foot down on XP.
Yeah.
Yep.
The other interesting thing, too, is you still find it difficult. You buy laptops and stuff like that. You actually pay more now for XP on it than you do with Vista. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I think is just wrong. So, and we got a new web browser coming out sometime shortly too. IE8, I think, has it hit the market officially yet?
Beta's
or not?
Out or something.
Microsoft upgraded my beta to the release candidate one. Yeah, the other day. So yeah, Internet Explorer 8 is on its way.
And
yes.
If you download Windows 7, it's in there.
Are people still using Internet Explorer?
Unfortunately, yes, because it's the incumbent. The same, the people, the mums and dads out there, those who you like to, you know, just use the stock standard install from an operating system, you get a browser. Why do you need anything else?
There are bigger and better things if you use Internet Explorer.
Don't know any better.
Have a look around.
There are smaller and better things.
There are smaller and better things. You're right. More importantly, have a look at Google's Chrome. Have a look at Firefox. Have a look at some of the other browsers that are available.
I must admit, I've noticed one of the interesting things with Firefox of recent times. Firefox caches Flash movies like you wouldn't believe. And I get clients ring up say, you haven't changed my movies that are online. I'm going, yeah, I have. And the workaround that I say is just open up IE and load it in that and then go back to Firefox and it fixes the problem. So there you go, caching. And ISPs are doing a lot of that of recent times too, obviously to keep their bandwidth requirements down. Have you noticed that sometimes you can sit there and go refresh? Well, you guys aren't web developers, but when you're developing websites and you want to see the new one online, you have to wait a minute before it caches it, gets rid of the cache and brings it down. Oh, it's frustrating. Yep.
I'm on TPG. Their proxy servers are notorious.
Well, it's the way they keep their cost down,
right? It is the way they keep their cost down, that's right.
So, here's the internet as it looked 30 minutes ago.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
YouTube has gone widescreen at last. Hello?
How can any ISP stay in business?
You're not going to get fibres at the home, not for a long time.
It's an expensive exercise in stupidity from the outset.
The whole idea is you take out one node, the rest of the network keeps working.
Look, we can share, we can play nicely.
We have a huge problem on our hands, ladies and gentlemen.
Entertaining.
A billion Chinese dissidents can't be wrong.
Informative.
Do it post-paid, because then there's no surprises, is there?
Independent.
The government's in control of this country, not Telstra.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Thank you, someone.
Who's that?
Steve Jobs just calling.
Listening to the show live? Then log on to chat.techtalkradio.com.au now. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Android, the HTC phone that runs the Android operating system or Google's thing, Trujillo came out the other day and said, nah, it's rubbish.
Oh, good.
So Telstra won't be doing it. But the news report went along.
Rubbish. They said the same thing about the iPhone.
Absolutely.
And they sell that.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, probably will. You'll get a SIM for it, and they'll find another data plan especially for you.
Somewhere,
yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Google's Android mobile platform wasn't robust, said the chief CEO of Telstra. When he also disclosed his own Apple iPhone, amongst other things, he had one of those. So there you go. Sol's got an iPhone. Did you know?
No, I didn't know that.
No, there you go. So that says volumes for it. But
as Adam said, it's 12 months or however long it is after
he
said,
told Apple to bugger off.
Yeah, yeah, told Apple to get lost, and we will not be having the iPhone on our network. Yeah.
That's right. We had the battle of the arrogant phone company and the arrogant computer supplier.
And Apple said, what's this little...
Who are these for?
Who are these little, minuscule, yes, full of themselves telco down under?
Ah, they're run by a yank. Yeah.
Yes. And for how long, though? What are we up to? He's got I think his tenure finishes in July, I think, from recollection. And rumour has he'll be gone by then. But anyway, listen to the previous part of the show for that. Anyway, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. We have a full contingency on the panel here this evening. Come and visit us on the forum if you want. The chat room, chat.techtalkradio.com.au. And I was thinking
as well, if you like,
to ask Graham, how's the forum going?
To be honest, I haven't logged onto it for a little while.
I sent you an email the other day. Can you reset my password? Because I've forgotten.
We'll sort that out. Yep, that's no problem.
Oh, good. So you did get that email.
You can also view us live, or you can look at the archived recording of this program, and you can listen to us on ustream.tv/TechTalkRadioAU.
I haven't gone across there tonight on my laptop. I've been watching the chat.
You can see how good Sam the Barber did on the back of my head.
We currently have 8 people viewing us live, so there you go. They're also listening to us.
How many
of
those are in the studio?
Probably 5 or 6.
I've got one here.
And we're also sending the audio out through Ustream as well.
How is Ustream going? They carry a lot of programs, don't they?
They carry heaps of programs, and they also use...
The future? Is it the future of these type of shows, of TV programs and...
Potentially, yeah. It's a very easy, very simple way to stream video, and we're not incurring any bandwidth costs. We're just sending the program up to Ustream's servers. They're doing all the distribution for us, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it is. All right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Odd Spot gadget and website of the week after this.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
YouTube has gone widescreen at last. Hello?
How can any ISP stay in business?
You're not going to get fibres at the home, not for a long time.
An expensive exercise in stupidity from the outset.
The whole idea is you take out one node, the rest of the network keeps working.
Look, we can share, we can play nicely.
We have a huge problem on our hands, ladies and gentlemen.
Entertaining.
A billion Chinese dissidents can't be wrong.
Informative.
Do it post-paid, because then there's no surprises, is there?
Independent.
The government's in control of this country, not Telstra.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Thank you, someone.
Who's is that?
Steve Jobs just calling.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Interesting!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my hole!
This week's gadget is the Get Smart Medical Shoe Phone.
Oh, yeah, I saw this on the telly.
An Adelaide inventor who maybe watched too many episodes of the 60s sitcom Get Smart has devised his own version of the infamous shoe phone. Mr. Paul Gardner-Stephen, an Adelaide engineer at the Flinders University, was making a prop for a local play when he realised that such technology could be used for monitoring patients' health. The budding entrepreneur says the shoe phone can be used for remote patient monitoring. For example, a Bluetooth heart sensor could send information to a small computer in a patient's shoe, which in turn could send related medical information via the mobile telephone network. The shoe phone could also contain sensors which would detect if the wearer had taken a fall and automatically ring for medical assistance, initiating a speakerphone conversation to check on the patient's welfare. Mr. Gardner-Stephen hopes the medical shoe phone will be brought to market within 5 years.
When do we get the cone of silence? That's my question.
I reckon that's a great idea.
It's a curious idea. I'm not sure that the best place for your mobile phone antenna is on your feet.
No, it defies the laws of... mobile broadband. Really, doesn't
All these old people think they're going nuts because their shoes are talking to them.
Yeah, okay, love.
What?
Yeah,
if you've got any form of dementia, you've got a real problem.
I reckon combine this with the Dick Tracy wristwatch telephone that's been in the news lately, and you might be on a winner.
Absolutely.
Use your wrist to call your foot to see what it's doing.
All right, so
Telstra, take note.
Absolutely.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
www.tutorial9.net. That's tutorial with a number 9. Do you need help using Photoshop or Illustrator? Do you need some tips for snapping the perfect photograph with your new digital SLR? Or do you need help with search engine optimization or website design? I came across this website while I was wilfing over the Christmas break.
Wilfing?
Yes. What was I looking for?
Oh, yeah, good.
Mindlessly surfing. Tutorial9.net gives you some simple and free tutorials for all of those sorts of things and lots more. The website's got RSS feeds for the tutorials, so when they update something or publish a new tutorial, it becomes available to you in your newsreader. And people can also participate by posting replies and even submitting their own topics for publication. So a great website for budding bloggers or photographers or net-savvy people. That's tutorial9.net.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Missed it by that much.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Don't ask! For God's sakes, don't ask!
Houston, we have a problem.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
Google has removed images from its popular mapping service Street View, which showed a man sitting on a toilet in an inner-city Melbourne backyard. The images were removed last week after two websites, which track so-called Street View oddities, posted links to the location on Google Maps where the photographs were visible. Google has come under fire from civil rights groups about the publication of Street View photographs, forcing Google last year to automatically blur people's faces and car number plates before being published. In this latest complaint, the photograph of the Port Melbourne house and man and toilet was taken from a narrow laneway and shows a corrugated roof outhouse in which a gentleman can be seen doing what it is he's doing. Street View images are taken by specially mounted cameras on Google vans. They drive over deer and the images are stitched together to form continuous street panorama. That's the Odd Spot.
Absolutely. Oh, look, it's good. Tech what a talk. Challenging evening it has been here in the Tech Talk studios this evening. Hopefully it sounds all right at your end. It's been a fun day. But anyway, back on air. We'll be back, I guess, next week with hopefully more of the same with the energy companies and heat waves permitting, I guess. So, boys, how's it been? First one back. Anything decent?
Yeah,
what's been the highlight?
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
I'd like to send a cheerio to my son. It's his first day at school tomorrow.
Ah, yeah, my daughter too.
Yeah.
She's got her first day at school tomorrow. So a lot of that going around.
Good luck to all the kids.
Absolutely. And make sure your mum and dad listen to Tech Talk Radio. All right. Hopefully we'll be back with you the same time next week, same station. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, panellists Justin Dunlop, Graham Callaghan and Mark Diggins. Expert opinion from Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia that take the show. Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 9818 2756 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.